KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, this is Jim Williams with you. Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect. I drove a whole 8 miles to the studio today, but our guest, Bev Rich, how many thousands of miles have you come from Jinja, Uganda to be with us?
About 8,000.
8,000? Mm-hmm. That's dedication.
Oh, well, I love to travel, right? Not.
Hey, Bev and I were talking. Bev Rich called Christians in Jinja, Uganda. She's been out there for 30 years.
Nearly
30. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sharing the gospel with people. Your late husband, Jesse, and you did a cool thing to go out there and just be with people. And so Called Christians has got an amazing ministry, and we're going to spend some time talking about that. But I want to appeal to everybody here first. If you're listening now and you are registered to vote, please go vote tomorrow. If you haven't voted already, please go vote tomorrow. We're voting, have a municipal election. Multiple cities around the state have that. I know in Albuquerque, we're voting for mayor. We're voting for some city council. We're voting for school board. There's some bond issues on the ballot. And I just want to appeal to you, please, please, please. There's so few people that come out and vote, especially during these types of elections. Your vote really does count. And if you need some counsel, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but you can go to klyt.fm and go to the Action Center, and we have three different voter guides. So a little bit different flavor with each of those. And I think people can get an idea as to who you want to vote for. Do a little bit of preparation. You will not be, you know, at the polling place for very long. The old days of standing in line for 2 hours, I think those days are gone. I was fortunate to vote last week. Now, Bev, let's start with you're in a foreign country. You're in Jinja, Uganda. Mm-hmm. Most of us in the United States, we hear things that sound kind of scary and dangerous coming out of Uganda, and you have an election now, too.
Yes, and in fact, all the sides are gearing up and they're beginning their rallies. And actually, it's been going on for just over a month. And they have big, the people will put a sofa on top of a truck, the people running for, and then they'll have thousands and thousands of people around them, many on the Boda Bodas, which are the motorcycle taxis. And in fact, there are always crashes as they go down the highway. And then people burn tires and destroy things around them. And they have wrecks, and maybe 30 people for a rally will end up in the hospital.
Oh,
and,
my.
And when election comes, we will actually stock our compound with enough food and water and everything to last for about 3 days, and lock our gates and not let anyone in or out. We just keep our heads down and
wow,
try and stay safe.
Hey, you've been working in Jinja almost 30 years, mm-hmm. and I know that there's people in the States, and there may be some other people in mm-hmm. other parts of the world that are communicating with you, just making sure you're good. I know you have a lot of friends in Jinja, but you also have a lot of friends here, like in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. So who are the people communicating with you, praying with you, and maybe even be providing support? Because I think our listeners, that's why they listen to the station, is they feel God calling them. One thing I'm hoping that people that are listening today, somebody that might have their heart being led to be on the mission field.
Mm, yes.
And we'll talk about the opportunities you afford them to come out and see if that's really something that it's about. But who are the people that are supporting you and sending you and praying for you every day?
Well, I have a small care team, and actually I get very few members. We're getting really old. We looked around at our care team group yesterday and said, wow.
Why do I resemble that statement?
Well, so do I. And they've taken care of me when I come to Albuquerque for years. They do write to me. Some of them don't even go to Calvary anymore, but we all love each other so much that they stay on my care team just to make sure I'm okay. And then Calvary Church is wonderful about making sure that any huge needs we have, you know, get covered. Like when we got struck by lightning and our refrigerator and washer and microwave all completely blew up, they helped me recover some of that. And Calvary actually is the place that gathers my support funds. It's all individual support. We don't live on any salary or anything like that. It's just when God touches people's heart to send money, they can either do it through my website or through Calvary Church and support the ministry there. And we have a very large ministry.
Yeah. And boy, people are going to be excited when they hear about all the great work you're doing in that community and 30 years of fruit. Because you really have seen a lot of fruit. The website is called C-A-L-L-E-D, Christians.org, calledchristians.org, based in Jinja, Uganda. And if anybody wants additional information, they can read bios and do different things on your website. So we'll keep letting everybody know about that. Tell us a little bit about the ministry and just kind of an overview, because we're going to talk about each one of the aspects of things that you're doing today, because we have a whole hour with you.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, when Jess and I went out in 1997, we went to visit Jay and Sonny McLaughlin, and they took us into the prison ministry, and God was very clear that Jess and I were called back to prison ministries. And we started with just three prisons. They're in Jinja, and now we teach in 10 government prisons. We teach Bible, and we help with medical needs and food needs for HIV patients and hospital. We take a bus to the hospital every day from three of the prisons and get their prisoners treated and get their medicines and things like that. And then when we were teaching in the prisons, men would get out and they would go back to their villages and come back to Jesse and say, nobody teaches the way you do, straight from the Bible, verse by verse. Come and start a church in our village. And Jesse would say, I'm only one person, so I can't do that. So what he did was start a school of ministry. And so he called in the guys that were wanting churches, and he started training them up, and they went out and started churches in their villages. And then in 2004, we were able to buy this big building next to us, big, empty, abandoned shell of a building, and we got support from here to build it. And so we've had our school of ministry and our Sunday schools and pastor conferences and all kinds of things in that building. Because we've been really struggling to make ends meet, we're actually looking at dividing it off and selling it right now, which will be a real heart thing. But if it needs to be done and we need to downsize, then that's what we're doing. But in order to get that building, there were about 80 squatters in there, and most of them were orphan street kids or like an anti, because we were right in the middle of the AIDS epidemic.
Mm.
So most of those kids didn't have parents. So they were being raised by an auntie or a grandma, and there were no men in their lives. And so we started, that's our orphan program. We never had an orphanage, but we started feeding those kids and sending them to school and taking care of, you know, their needs. And now we've graduated about 350 kids from high school and probably 60 from either university or trade school. But then that's the building we purchased, so we needed to take care of those kids for long term. And even some of them today, one of them's my accountant, one of them's my builder, one of them's my social worker, many are teaching in prisons, and so it's been a real wonderful thing with those three big ministries, not counting all the small ones we do.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's just neat that you had a heart to just meet the physical needs of people. A lot of us are taught, you know, we know that God wants us to share our faith.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times people don't think about, because as Americans, most of us don't have to worry about food. Probably I'm a little bit insensitive in saying that, because mm-hmm. there may be a lot more people hungry than I think.
Mm-hmm.
I serve on the board of Feed New Mexico Kids because I know there's a lot of children that don't have food on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And that just blows my mind. But there is a lot of poverty in Uganda, and these orphans, there's still a shortage of men, aren't there? Not only because of the AIDS epidemic, but because of wars and different things that have happened.
Well, and not only that, but the men haven't been raised up to take care of their own kids either. Most of the men there are polygamous, and there was one friend of mine named Tumbo that had six wives and 56 children. And I asked him one day, I said, Tumbo, do you even know the names of all of your children? He said, I don't even know their faces.
Wow.
Yeah. And so one of my kids, his dad is an army man. When Isaac was about 10, his father said, "You're not even my son. Get out," and threw him out on the street. Well, now his father's really sick and in and out of the hospital. So guess who's taking care of his father is Isaac. And so the kids that we've raised up, there really are no men in their lives. When I heard your advert a little bit ago about from John Chitwood. Mm-hmm. John Chitwood comes out there and works on our vehicles, but he also mentors our young men. Sometimes you can see him with his head under the hood of the car, and six or seven guys just gathered around him, listening to his every word. And so our young men need men to mentor them because their fathers are either drunkards or they ran away when the mother got pregnant, or, you know, different things like that.
So if there's men and women, I mean, you and Jesse made this commitment to go together, but you have a woman who came out several years ago, and she's very involved in the ministry now. She came out to visit. If you're thinking about God's calling you to ministry and possibly missions work, is the best way to figure out if that's a true calling to actually come out and visit a place like Called Christians?
Absolutely, because you don't know what's really there until you see it. I can write 1,000 newsletters, but I can never really tell you what's on the ground there. And Africa thinks completely differently than America. My motto, that's not the Bible verse, but that's on my door, says, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall bend and not break." And I try to live by that, because everything's always different. But yes, they need to come out. And there are often teams that come too, not just individually, but you can come with teams from Calvary or other churches.
Yeah. And you do have some other people from other churches involved in the ministry. You mentioned that some people might have started at Calvary, but now they might be attending another church, but they've not stepped away from helping you.
No. Once you get Uganda in your heart, you're stuck. If you've been there, you never forget Uganda and you never forget the people. There have only been two people in all the time that I've been there that when they left said, "Oh, I don't ever want to go back." Of all the others, they just have this love for Uganda in their hearts. So once you get there, yeah, you're stuck.
Yeah, it's funny. You put on my desk here the Called Christians Jinja Uganda Mission. It's like a refrigerator magnet.
Yep.
But you have a really beautiful dress on, and you always look nice.
Thank you.
But I love the colors of the things that you wear in Africa. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, Africans love bright colors, and so do I. And the dress that the women wear there when you want to be formal is called a gomes. And in the villages, they wear a gomes every single day. They don't wear just regular dresses. In town, when you go to a graduation or a burial or a wedding or anything, then you put on your gomes. And they have these jewel colors, teal and red and blue and green and purple. And I just love it. And so I always make sure that my gomes is very bright and colorful. The one you're looking at is a teal color, a deep teal color.
Yeah, and purple too.
All through it, and purple, and I just love that. And I've learned to put them on. They're very difficult. You hold them on with two buttons and a belt that you wrap around. So you have to wear a skirt underneath it just in case you walk out of the dress, because you can. I did once. Plus, when you wear a gomes, you're trying to look big. Big women there are very admired, and so they'll even put on two or three skirts underneath their gomes so that their backside is really big, because that's what we're supposed to look like.
That is hysterical. Tell me what you miss about New Mexico. Do you miss New Mexican food?
I do. I miss New Mexican food. I miss New Mexican skies.
Blue skies. Ooh. I mean, how long you've been here this time?
A week, and it has been gorgeous.
So nice. The temperatures are beautiful.
Ah, yes. Beautiful, gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm looking out right now through the pine trees on the Calvary campus, and it's nice and blue and no wind, and it's just this, what a time of year this is.
Perfect. Yeah.
Very special. Mm-hmm. How would a red enchilada or a green chili burrito go over in Jinja?
Well, the Asian Indians would absolutely probably love them. Most Ugandans don't like spicy food. I have two in my house that want to eat it just as hot as they possibly can, so they would love it. But I have one that if you put onions in her food, it's too hot. So
that's hysterical.
So it depends.
That's good. Bev Rich is the director of Called Christians Ministry in Jinja, Uganda. Their website is calledchristians.org. Bev's going to be with us till 2 o'clock, so I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. Jim Williams with you on ABQ Connect. Our good friend Beverly Rich is in town today. She's here to get some medical treatment and some different things. Been here about a week. She, of course, runs the Called Christians Ministry in Jinja, Uganda. I want to remind everybody that there's going to be an event at the University of New Mexico. Scott Tom, who you're all familiar with, is going to be answering questions down on the UNM campus. Just making himself available to talk about doctrines and allow anybody and everybody that wants to ask questions. So I'm hoping that some of our listeners might go down to join him. And if you'd like more information about that, give us a call at 505-338-5790. That's going to be here in the next few days. Scott Tom, well-known pastor here in town, and we hope that you'll be down there to support him. We also have, obviously, the Christmas Critter Campaign going on with GFA World. It's an interesting fundraiser because it's a way for you to give a gift that is provides a sustainable income for many people around the world, not just in South Asia, but now a little bit in South Africa, a little bit south of where Bev is. Bev, I'm going to pick up on something that you talked about a minute ago, and that is that, one, you're very flexible.
Oh, yes.
Because God calls you to be that.
Yes.
And improvisational, could I say that?
You must be.
and creative. You got to have creativity. And I will tell you that, so I feel at 67 that I'm not as persevering as I once was. I think the energy level, so you really love to have some people come and join the ministry. Mm-hmm. You would love to have additional people join your support team.
Oh, yes.
And if they have ideas, if they come and visit and they really love what you're doing, do you listen to their input? Like if they wanted to fund, like you've just mentioned your prison ministry, but we're going to get in detail about that. You've mentioned your school of ministry, but you're actually training pastors and sending people out. We're going to talk about that in more detail. Do you let people that come out and want to get involved have input?
Yes. Many people come out, though, and they think that we're doing things very wrong because we're in such a different culture. But we still listen to what they have to say, whether they approve or don't approve. We still listen. Deborah has been there just over 5 years. And at first, you know, she saw things this way, but she's been in Africa for 5 years now, and so we ask a lot of advice from our Ugandans because they've lived there all their lives and they understand the culture. And we often don't think about culture, but Africans think completely differently than Americans or Europeans. And so,
if a man were to come to Christ, you mentioned a man that had a bunch of children and multiple mothers of those children. I didn't want to say wives because I didn't know if that was the case. If a man like that comes to faith in Christ, do they change their attitude toward taking care of their children? Do you see changes like that?
You do. Tumbo's big thing when he came to Christ, and he did, was they had a witchcraft hut right in the center of all their six houses with all the women and children, and they had witchcraft all in their houses because everyone in Uganda grows up in witchcraft. That's just the way it is. And so within the week after he got saved, he took all the witchcraft things out of every woman's house, threw him all in the big hut in the middle, and burned the whole thing down.
Wow.
And so, yes, and we passed by and thought it was a funeral because all the women were out on their verandas just weeping and weeping, and it turns out that they were weeping over their witchcraft articles that Tumbo had burned. Sometimes they change. The men that are godly and then have children, they treat their children differently than the other men do. Sometimes when they change, they do, but wives and children there are just a part, just a piece of their lives. They're not they're not a focus there. No one's ever, well, people are now beginning to teach marriage classes. We do the same thing. And they're just so surprised that they're supposed to like each other. They don't even like each other half the time.
Wow.
Yes, it's very different. You marry for convenience there. The man wants a wife to wash his clothes and cook his food and have his children and keep the house clean. And the wife wants a roof over her head and someone to pay the school fees for her children. And so it's more a marriage of a convenience than it is a marriage of two people falling in love.
I'm thinking, as you're talking about this witchcraft thing, you might understand spiritual warfare at a different level than we might experience in America.
Very much so. It's all around us all the time. And we've had several demon-possessed people come to the church. Our former pastor, Isaac Wooten, cast out a demon one night at one of our afterglows. It was a very aggressive and loud thing.
Have you seen the power of God? So many people think that there's some battle between God and the enemy. There's no battle. Jesus already won.
That's right.
And anytime he wants, but now this is confusing for people. He has allowed the enemy to have a domain on earth. And it's just my opinion that I think he's trying to teach us. He's allowed that because he doesn't want us to be puppets.
Right.
And he wants us to make a choice to love him.
Yes.
Not to be coerced into loving him, but to love him because we love him.
A lot of people ask that question, why would God allow all this evil to exist? And God is sovereign, and he's in charge of everything, but he still gives us a choice. And you, like you said, he wants us to love him, and you have to choose him or something else. Pastor Skip was just talking this week about Baal, and but in their villages, in the big houses, there is a shrine to an ancestral demon in everyone's area, and they do sacrifices and worship them. When one of our pastors buried his mother, when he finished the burial, he said, "Now, this is a Christian burial. There will be no more ceremonies after this. No chicken or goat slaughtered on the grave, no cutting yourself, none of those things." And it's very prevalent. And, you know, in I believe Corinthians, it says, you know, you can eat anything, but don't cause anyone to stumble. And I have to choose whether to eat meat sacrificed to idols or not. Well, maybe a Ugandan only gets meat once or twice a year. Then he goes to the village. They have this big witchcraft ceremony where they sacrifice a cow or a goat or something. And he has to choose whether to eat that meat sacrificed to a demon, an absolute demon, or not. And if he does, then other people might say, well, look, he's eating it. It's okay for me too. Or they'll say, look, that Christian's doing it. He must not be very much of a Christian. So it's a real stumbling block if a Christian goes to the village and eats the meat sacrificed to a demon.
That's why the community that you've created with called Christians is so important. You have a compound, but you're constantly doing outreach. We'll continue to emphasize that as we go through this interview because you're doing a lot of things, but you also are guarding and protecting people within the compound. It would be, I want to give an opportunity for our listeners to help support Called Christians. CalledChristians.org. How easy is it for people to provide support to make sure that the compound stays intact?
Well, there's a link on Called Christians, and all you have to do is push that link, and it takes you exactly how to give support. And then also you can go on to the Calvary Church webpage and hunt for missions and then hunt for who you want to send it to, but you can find us. And then it's very easy to give through that, either online.
Yeah, if you go to calvarynm.church, you can go to missions. There's a tab, and then actually go down to global missions.
Thank you.
And then you're listed there with three or four other folks that are doing things out of the country.
Yes.
And there's a bio. There's all kinds of nice things there. I know you were in the pulpit at Calvary yesterday. Was that a good experience?
Oh, it was so wonderful. Pastor Skip has been so good to us since the very first day we went out. And even after Jesse died and people were coming against me and trying to take away some of our property and throw me out of the country and things like that. Pastor Skip even and Calvary Church put out a letter that said that they supported me. I was the one in charge. They would back me up. They even offered some extra things that I truly had needed, you know, to protect me. And so Pastor Skip has always been so gracious to let me at least show my face on stage. It was really kind of
him. Well, and along with that, I need to obviously mention our former general manager, Chip Lesko, who went home to be with the Lord now, I think, a couple years ago. Or year and a half. Larissa, his bride, is still here in Albuquerque and serving in ministry and loving people. The Lesko family, I'm going to say this wrong. I'm going to use a double negative. But the Lesko family, because of Chip's leadership, can't not share the gospel. All of them.
Amen.
They have to tell you about the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I just think that is such an amazing thing. It puts a big smile on my face, but it also makes me sad that our friend Chip Lesko is not with us. But I'm rejoicing that he's with the Lord.
Amen. But I pray for Larissa every day.
Yeah.
And we love Chip and Larissa. They've both been out there more than once.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons they were trying so hard to raise support for us, is because we were already beginning to lack a bit. And I talked to Chip and asked him, well, you know, where God guides, God provides. Do you think we need to close down this ministry? And he said, absolutely not. Let's give it a couple more years and let me work on it and see what can happen. And then he went to heaven.
Well, but I think you've already summed it up. I mean, if you needed to sell the complex and continue ministry in a different way, you would do that. It just seems that something has been built.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows what the budget is. When we come back from this break, I'm going to have you talk about your outreach programs a little bit, and we'll ask everybody to stay with us. Bev Rich will be with us until the top of the hour. She is the director of Called Christians Ministry in Jinja, Uganda, School of Ministry, Prison Ministry, humanitarian stuff that they do in the community, education. I just can't believe all the things that you do. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us. Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect. This is a busy week. We already mentioned and appealed to everybody to try to vote. We have a municipal election going on in multiple cities around New Mexico. Mentioned Scott Tom and him sharing the word on the UNM campus. Love for you to give us a call, 505-338-5790, or go to our action page at klyt.fm and get more details about that. Of course, we mentioned the GFA World Critter Campaign. And I just can't, that's an amazing fundraiser. We're also talking to Bev Rich, and Bev has been in ministry for 30 years. She has a compound in Jinja, Uganda, obviously really effective ministry in many ways. So you have a school of ministry, and there are people that have been trained as pastors, and they've now gone out to other communities all around. Are a lot of those churches successful?
Yes, they are. Jesse could train up pastors. Now that he is gone, I, as a woman, am not supposed to train up pastors. So we have this Bible school, but we believe in making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so Deborah Roberts actually runs the school of ministry, the Bible school, but the classes are taught by pastors from around the compound and from around Jinja. And people do go out. We still have several very active village churches, and they've planted churches. And the last large Calvary Chapel East Africa pastors conference that happened, out of all of the pastors that were there, 75% of those men either came out of Calvary from Jinja or from one of the men that was sent out by Calvary in Jinja. 75% of the Calvary pastors in Uganda. It was pretty exciting.
So you've been around Calvary Church in Albuquerque since Skip Heitzig. You know, I think this church is now 42 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Maybe within a year or two of that. And obviously Skip's knowledge and his teaching style and everything are just so amazing. I can't even believe it. In 30 years, have you seen pastors that have grown their knowledge and their handling of God's word in just an amazing way?
Absolutely. When we were first there, you know, most missionaries are sent out by a different Calvary. None of them are connected with each other, and no one is helping each other out spiritually or in growth or things. So Jesse started having a pastor conference every quarter there in Jinja and invited all of the other Calvaries from all over, the missionaries and the Ugandans, and started inviting them to Jinja back in like the year 2000. And from that, all these others, you know, have grown out, and they do grow. In fact, there's one young man. Well, let me just put a little addendum in here. Skip is going out with Franklin Graham, and they go and they do the crusade. And Skip also has begun training the pastors in expository teaching. He asked Franklin one day, so how many pastors come to these things? And Franklin said about 1,000. And Skip's like, can I talk to them? So he has been. And early this year, they were in Ethiopia. And Calvary Church here took four of my pastors and Deborah to Ethiopia, and the organization, those guys just took them into their own, had breakfast with them, let them be in their devotions, just made them a part of the group. And they came back, and we were having a pastor conference, and Aaron Mwanda, our brightest of the brightest, 49 years old, was teaching on stage. He was teaching expositorily, and teaching how to teach expositorily, the way Skip had been teaching them, and he had a heart attack and fell down dead right on the stage.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, 49 years old. But he was just Jesse. Before Jesse died almost 11 years ago, used to say he'd give anything if he could preach like Aaron Mwanda. So, yeah, but so many of them are just growing up. I just love to see my children and my grandchildren, mm-hmm. because that's what I consider those guys. They all call me Mama. And I just love to see them growing in the Lord and branching out. So
yeah,
exciting.
That is very exciting. How are children doing in Jinja?
There are a lot of street children. And most of the children that we've raised up were street children. We don't have a large children's ministry anymore except through the church. We have about 200 in our Sunday school, and that's equal to the congregation. But
Not children necessarily of the adult parishioners.
No. They come from all around in that area. And we live in a pretty bad slum area. So the first service is where the Sunday school is children that can speak English. But the second service is all the kids that can't speak English. But we have Ugandan teachers that speak Luganda. So we divide it up like that. And the first service is usually children of people coming to church. But
gotcha.
Yeah, we have great Sunday school teachers too.
But you mentioned that orphans and caring for them limited by the support availability that you have. So as people are listening now, mm-hmm. love for them to be inspired and listen to God to say, yeah, come out to Jinja and be part of the ministry serving in the mission field. But there's also people here just as important that could be senders. They could be praying. They could be just communicating with you guys on a regular basis and then disseminating, hey, what your needs are to the communities here. But they can also be physically, financially supporting you. And that's pretty easy to do and very secure, right?
At yes.
calledchristians.org.
Yes, Chip set that up. Chip Lesko.
Yeah.
And it was so good of him to do that.
Well, and some funding is needed. I mean, we don't want to pull any punches. There's
no.
some funding needed. The ministry is going to go on, but it might have to adjust. And this is not unusual for various ministries, especially one that's been around for 30 years. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, but there's a lot more. You're one of those people that every time you see a need, you want to be able to help take care of it.
Definitely. And that's hard. Uganda is a poverty-stricken country. They almost had a middle class at one time, but the corruption has pretty well destroyed that. There's the very rich and there's the very poor. And we sent children to school for years. Now we only have two left in high school, two in university, and three in a trade school. But we've graduated about 350 from high school. And like I said, about 60 from universities or trade schools. And they're just great, great kids. But there are still so many street kids. But there are organizations to support children. But we still do children. We do a lot of humanitarian. People come to our gate. A mother with two sick children hasn't eaten in 3 days, has been kicked out of her house. How do you look at a person like that and say, sorry, go be well fed and pat them on the back and send them on their way? I have a pastor in northern Uganda, and up there there's a lot of Islam just really is difficult up there. It's about 95% Muslim, and they persecute horribly. They've poisoned his wife twice.
Oh, my goodness.
And another man in town converted from Islam to Christianity, and his brothers and uncles came and cut his arms off, both of them, just below the elbows. And so Tom has been helping him and his family, and I've been sending them food. And then Called Christians was able to start a business for them, a little restaurant business on the side of the road. And then just recently we were able to get prosthetics for him. Not that he can do much, but it has two little hooks.
Cool.
And so that's the kind of things we like to do. There was a little girl with cancer this year that we just tried and tried to help her make it through the cancer with the chemotherapy and everything. And she looked like she was doing great, and then overnight it turned to bad, and she passed away within a week. But she loved the Lord with all her heart, so I know she's in heaven now. Mm. But it's just things like that.
Bev, I'm going to read James 2:15 and 16. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body. And this is the amazing thing that James says. What good is that?
Mm-hmm.
That isn't any good.
And our compound, everyone on our compound pretty well feels the same way. Mm. Now, there are a lot of people that come to scam because I'm an American. So my Ugandans are the ones that, my Ugandan staff, they interview those people at the gate now. They can usually dig out what's true and what's not. And if they come to me and say, Mom, this person really needs help, we will find a way to help those people. And yes, we've had to cut back on that and cut back on some of the funding that we do for the prison medications and things like that.
We're going to save that for just a second. We're going to take a break, say thank you to our sponsors. I want to talk about the prison ministry and that outreach. When you say prison ministry, that means something different than we might think.
Oh, yes.
In the United States. So I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. Bev Rich is the director of Called Christians in Jinja, Uganda. Their website is calledchristians.org. We're going to talk about the outreach prison ministry when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. If you missed the first part of the show, we're with Bev Rich. She's the director of Called Christians. It's just an amazing ministry in Jinja, Uganda. CalledChristians.org is their website. And go in and read bios and different things about their leadership and the different programs that they have. Bev's been serving in Uganda now for almost 30 years. Can you remember anything that really surprised you when you first got into the missions field?
Well, the first thing, don't laugh, is the smells. I smell really well anyway. And it either smelled really, really, really good like the flowers, or really, really, really bad. It was terrible. Everything smelled one way or the other, everything. And we're not used to that here. We're pretty sterile in America.
Yeah.
But there was so much. And then the other thing is, you know, there's so much poverty. And everyone assumes that any Westerner is rich. And I probably get asked 10 or 15 times a day for money. And that still continues. It doesn't surprise me anymore, but it did me at first.
Mm.
It really surprised me.
In having those things in mind and the intense need because of the poverty, you feel like the monies that you've spent, you've invested, the people that you've invested in, the people you've supported, you see fruit of the gospel. People know more about, or they know Jesus now, maybe didn't know him before you spent the last 30 years there.
Well, Jesus always helped the poor. And he helped the sick. And like you just read out of James, if you don't care, what good are you anyway?
Mm.
And so one of the things that we truly have focused on is sharing compassion, the love of Jesus Christ. In the prisons, we, like at Christmas, although this year I'm not sure if we're going to be able to, we give them rice and for rice instead of posho, which is ground maize meal, for Christmas Day. So they have one day where they get something to eat besides the thing they eat every single day. Well, we're not always able to do those anymore, but when we do that, it goes to everybody. When we take our bus out there and pick up the sick prisoners and take them to the hospital, we don't say you have to be Christian to get on the bus or to have the rice. We take everyone. And the Muslims will say, well, that's not the way we do it. Our imams only bring for the Muslims. And the Catholics will say, well, our priests only bring for the Catholics. And the, you know, and so one of the things that really touches them about Jesus is that he loves everybody. We try and make that really clear, that he cares about every single person. And because of that, a lot of people are drawn to Christ. And then when they begin to hear the word, you know, so many of them, it just wells up in them and they want to hear more and more and more. And so that's what we're about, is showing them the love of Christ and then filling them with God's word. And there really is fruit. The pastors, they're just amazing men, and they're so different than the people around them. And even many of the men and women that come out of the prisons are just so different. 2 days ago, yesterday actually, we got to baptize 270 men in remand prison, and the week before, 40 women. And most people are not allowed to do baptisms in the prisons, but we work so well with the administration that they're very happy to let us. They also say when we teach the Word of God in their prisons, the whole prison changes. It becomes so much easier to manage. There's not so much violence. Now, we don't have the kind of violence here with the gangs and all that. Believe it or not, we hand out razor blades to the prisons once a month so they can shave their hair, because that's how they shave.
Wow.
You would never give a razor blade to someone in America. You know, that would be crazy.
So why are people incarcerated? Are they incarcerated for different reasons than they would be in the United States?
Not really. There's a lot of theft.
I'm thinking maybe there's political prisoners.
There are. In fact, we got to do our Christmas program in front of several of the opposition 1 year, and there's that. There's even in the women. If you take a new wife and you want some time by yourself with her, then you accuse your other wives of doing something wrong.
Oh, man.
One wife accused her co-wife of stealing a tomato from her garden, and she was locked up for 6 months. And so there are a lot of innocent people there as well. There are some really bad people, and there are some, you know, medium. We're all bad.
Sure, sure.
But there are many people there that are innocent of what they've been accused of. A lot of times it's so people can take away your land. If they lock you up in prison, then they can easily steal your land. So
that is crazy.
Like that.
And that's why, you know, the property for called Christians is very, very valuable.
Yes, it is.
And why we're kind of appealing today for, if you think you can help the ministry, it would be really helpful to try to hold on to that. But not an essential. You're going to do ministry regardless.
Amen. We're going to do whatever God tells us to do. And if we're going to learn to survive on less support, then we will figure out how to do that. God will direct us. And if he touches a lot of people's hearts and they give more support, then we will use every penny of it towards the ministry.
What do we not know about Ugandans that is really neat that you've learned?
They are the most generous people in the world. When you go to a village, they will put you in a place and feed you. They'll kill their second chicken or their first chicken, and they'll feed you this feast, and everyone else is eating posho and beans, but they treat you like royalty. And then when you leave, they give you a chicken. They give you bunches and bunches of bananas or avocados. Our avocados are about bigger than softball size. And, you know, tomatoes, cabbages, they want to make sure that they send their visitors away with something. And if your neighbors are hungry, you will feed them. It's just the way it is. And there's a really funny thing. Ugandans eat their meat last. Because if you get visitors, then you still have some meat to give to your visitors if they come in the middle of a meal. So you eat your main stuff first, all the carbs, and you save your meat to last, and then you eat your meat. Just in case, just so you can have some for visitors if they show up.
This is not something I wrote down, but is there a lot of farming and things in that area?
Yes, we're mostly, Uganda runs on subsistence farming. We're beginning to get factories from India and from China. Lots of Chinese have come in recently. And so we're beginning to get more manufacturing and things like that. But most people eat on subsistence farming.
That's interesting stuff. How has your perspective of God changed? How long did you believe in Jesus before you went into the mission field?
Well, my mom was my Sunday school teacher.
Okay.
And I did catechism when I was 10 and got confirmed when I was 11. And so I've always believed in God and in Jesus. When I was 12, I went to a Bible Memory Association camp, and I officially gave my life to the Lord and told him at that time that someday I would be a missionary for him. And then I put it off for years and years and years. I married the wrong person. But yeah, that's when it started. But then once I got to Uganda, you know, they don't have access to medical and things like we do here. And yet God still loves Ugandans and will supply for their needs, or you pray on someone over someone and they get healed. And we don't see a lot of that here. They depend a lot more on God for daily things than we ever think about. If you're a Christian there, God is always right in the front of your mind.
You know, earlier you made a statement that I wrote a little note here about, most people eat the same thing every day, every meal. And of course, I'm almost embarrassed to say I sit around thinking about, oh, well, am I going to go here for lunch or there for lunch or whatever for lunch? And at the same time, we're appealing, you know, we do the same thing with coffee and everything else. So, look, I'm not criticizing anybody. I like to eat at certain restaurants. I like coffee, all of that. But I definitely could make, I don't even want to call it a sacrifice. I could just make it, because it's not much of a sacrifice, to skip one or two of those and maybe consider helping a ministry, because it is multiplied in a community like you have in Jinja, where a dollar spent there seems like it might be well spent.
$25 will feed a family of six for a week. And actually maybe give them a little protein rather than just the posho and the beans, which is what they eat every day, every meal. It might actually give them a little piece of something else in there besides just subsistence.
Yeah. Bev, how long are you in the United States?
I'm here in Albuquerque until Saturday, and then I'll be in Texas and South Carolina and Florida, and I fly back on the 18th December.
Yeah. When's 30-year anniversary?
February 5th.
Mm-hmm. Well, that I hope is a celebration for you, because you've done some amazing things. I know that God put that on your heart. You've been brave. I know losing your husband was a big blow, and you've just trusted God through all of that. And there's never been a day of really sitting back just counting your blessings. There's always a new challenge, isn't there?
Every day. Right now, we're dealing with a lot of issues with the courts and with land, and I do all of the government work, while my daughter of the heart, Nimeri, does the overseeing, the administration of finances, and Deb oversees all the education. But it's every day is something new that just kind of surprises you sometimes. It doesn't surprise God.
What can people find out more at calledchristians.org?
Well, they can see my past newsletters. I haven't done one in about a year, but we do kind of the same things over and over, just have different experiences in each one. So they can read about the prisons and the Bible school and the kids we've raised up and, you know, things like that. It's really exciting.
Bev, God bless all you're doing.
Thank you.